It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The retail industry is seeing ups and downs lately as companies try to grapple with shifting consumer trends that drove online shopping early in the pandemic. They've started to swing back toward in-store shopping. According to CoreSight Research, 2022 was the first time in the last 6 years that major U.S. retailers opened more stores than they closed, with largest growth from discount stores and the most closures coming for apparel companies. Companies like Barnes & Noble, Ross Stores, and TJX have announced plans to add dozens more locations in 2023. Others like Bed Bath & Beyond have flirted with bankruptcy, announced upcoming closures that include locations in Wisconsin. Walmart's closing a handful of underperforming stores, including one in the state, maybe for different reasons. So what gives? Why are some retailers adding, others cutting back? Our next guest is here to sort through the factors driving change in the retail industry. Hart Posen is professor of management and human resources at the UW-Madison School of Business and an expert on business strategy. Hart, welcome back to the studio.
Rob, thanks very much for having me. It's always exciting to see you in person.
Yes, definitely. Now, before we start naming names, big picture, we've been talking over the course of the pandemic, and now, you know, online shopping went up, of course. Is that going to stay? What are you looking at lately as far as our preference from shopping online versus going to a store?
Well, you know, the way I look at it is actually has, you know, our preferences for online versus in-store are clearly important. But I think what's going on in a lot of the dynamics in-store openings and closings and comings and goings is driven by retailers trying to figure out how to accommodate our preferences, how to make sense of what we want, and to redesign their stores and their online experience to match that.
Now, looking at particular names, I mentioned a couple big names that are closing stores in Wisconsin, but for different reasons. Let's start with Bed Bath & Beyond. It seems like this is a chain that is having some serious problems.
Well, Bed Bath & Beyond has been having serious problems for a long time. You know, I think it has less to do at Bed Bath & Beyond with the changing nature of retail and more to do with the fact that for Bed Bath & Beyond, it's really darn hard to figure out what the heck they're about. You know, you might wake up on a Saturday morning and say, we have to go to Walmart today, or I want to go to TJ Maxx today. But when do we want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond? And it's really hard to figure that out, and it has been for so long.
Now, we were talking actually during the news about hairstyles, but also about some of these issues in retail. And sometimes when we see, okay, oh, a brick and mortar retail chain's having trouble, it's closing or struggling or whatever, we say, oh, that's Amazon. That's online competition. That is not the universal cause here.
That is not. And we misunderstand the world if we blame everything on online retail. In fact, you know, some of the firms that are growing the most, TJ Maxx, for instance, does relatively small share of their business online purposefully. It's not that they're failing online. It's they've made a choice.
Now, I mentioned there's a Walmart store closing in the Milwaukee area. That is that's a symptom of something different than the Bed Bath & Beyond closures.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, Walmart has gained some ground in trying to understand and make sense of online retail. You know, when you see Walmart closing stores and opening stores, because they're doing both simultaneously, it really has more to do with the changing demographics and the changing age of stores, et cetera. This is not a sign of a problem.
Now, I mentioned there are chains expanding, and we'll talk about some of the particular ones. It seems like in the past, hey, my chain, my big box chain is doing really well, or my mall store is doing well. Let's open 50 more this month and 100 more next month. It seems like there's a lot more, I don't know what, intentionality, caution, choosiness as these stores expand. Do I have that right?
Well, you know, I think This is right, because there was so much overexpansion for so long of stores that were really hard to distinguish from one another. You know, you walk into a mall and all the, let's say, the young person's fashion stores, it was really hard to tell them apart. And now I think what you see, though, is a different avenue for growth. In the past, the avenue for growth was open more stores, whether here or else in other geographies. But now the avenue for growth is can we rethink about the mix between physical stores and online? Get that mix right as a way to maximize revenue and growth.
Now, there's this company, let me flip through my notes here, looking at opening some more in-person stores, Amazon. What?
Well, you know, Amazon has been playing around with this for some time, and of course they own Whole Foods already, which is one of the larger grocery chains in the US. They have been dabbling in what to do in brick and mortar because they too realize that it's not a story of brick and mortar or online. It's a story you have for your business, for your product, for your service. What is the right mix?
Now, the first casualties of Amazon, and I think this did have a lot to do with Amazon, was bookstores. Borders, used to go to Borders. There's no more Borders. Small bookstores, they made a comeback some. Now, Barnes & Noble adding stores, but a little different approach, it looks like.
Yeah, you know, look, there's a lot of... The number one reason Barnes & Noble is still in business is publishers need them in business. The last thing the publishers want... Forget about you and me for a second. We might want them as well. The last thing the publishers want is the last major bookstore chain to go under, because that then puts them in even a tougher position with Amazon on book sales. So the publishing industry needs Barnes & Noble to survive. Huh. And there are clearly lots of people like me and you who want Barnes & Noble to survive. And you know, the other part of this... We tend to go to extremes, right? You know, a few years ago it was, online retail will demolish all brick and mortar. And this has proved not true. And if you went back a few years, it was ebooks will demolish physical books. This is not true either. There's some combination of the two. In my household, we buy a lot of ebooks and we buy a lot of physical books.
We're talking Hart Posen from the UW-Madison School of Business, looking at the latest news in the world of retail. You could share your shopping habits, how they've changed or not, online on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Hart, heard a few different perspectives there. David wrote, I stopped going, meaning stopped going to retail stores when they made me cashier without pay. I have a little attitude like that with David, like, you want me to go through, you got to give me a broom, I'll sweep up too a little bit. How is this affecting the user experience at stores?
Well, let me tell you a story first. The story first is that what we think of as retail, physical retail, brick and mortar retail today, is not what it looked like historically, right? There was Rob behind the counter, all the goods were behind the counter.
Right.
The emergence of the idea of putting price tags on stuff... meant you didn't have to have a skilled negotiator behind the counter. And it turned retail into self-service. A store is a self-service warehouse located close to home. Now, the questioner's comment says, boy, they're even making me do more and more of it. In the old days, you used to walk to the store, get a cart, walk around, pick stuff off the warehouse shelf in the store, take it to the counter, and someone did the checkout. Now we're just removing the checkout part. But this is a trend that's been going on for decades.
Now, there's a labor connection here. Now, I see, I was looking at who was adding jobs in January. Retail seasonally adjusted 30,000 extra jobs. Not huge in the scope of things. Thoughts that a lot of stores may be keeping their seasonal workers on hand. What was happening with retail during the labor shortage, as people described it?
Well, you know, labor rates in a lot of retail environments have gone up a lot. Walk into your neighborhood or Target and see that the starting wages may be $15 or more an hour, which is significantly higher than it used to be. And this idea of holding, you know, given the uncertainty about the labor pool right now, these folks don't want to let you go if you come. And so they have some strong incentive to hold on to you.
Now, Lisa wrote, I prefer to shop at small stores in my community. Most have everything I need. I'll sometimes get things online rather than shopping at a big box store. Interesting. So I'll go small and local, or I'll just go online, forget the big boxes.
You know, this is a tough thing, right? We were just talking about Barnes & Noble, right? Whereas, you know, what's that movie? You've Got Mail. Mm-hmm. The big bookstore was... The demon. Now the big bookstore is the savior. And you know, in online retail for years, you know, as Amazon has gained more and more market power, as they've gained, because they have an overwhelming share in online retail. In online retail, we have to hope for Walmart as the savior. And so it is this confusing thing that just to be, you know, for the caller's point, I do too want the diversity of local retailers that bring a diversity of goods and a diversity of good to our community.
And then we heard from Jacqueline, who writes, I'm 67 with mobility issues, so I shop online with Walmart. I have a store delivery. Now, the thing that accelerated, I think, during the pandemic was accessibility to for someone like Jacqueline or people with a lot of causes why they can't go and shop around a store. That has given them a lot more options.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's a universal good or bad. There are different people with different preferences and different needs. And I think that, you know, an apocalyptic view that one type of retail will destroy all others, I think we've proved time and time again, that's not the way it ever turns out to be.
Now, I had originally written in our script, retail was in flux. But then I took that out. Because, right, when is retail not in flux?
Ever since you and I have been talking, retail has been in flux.
And probably before that, I'm guessing. Right? I mean,
we're pretty old.
Big picture, Hart, there's a sort of evolution to the retail business. Can you give us that?
Yeah, and there always has been, right? When big box bookstores pushed out mom and pop bookstores, and then Amazon pushed out big box bookstores. The same has happened in consumer electronics. You know, we have this tendency to think that what we see today is the way we always should be and always was. And there's an inherent fallacy in that, right? You know, the biggest retailers a few decades ago were firms like Sears. Now they've basically disappeared. The flux is forever. The only question is, when will Walmart and Amazon disappear? Will it be in 30 years or 50 years? But the one thing we can predict for sure, it will change.
What are you watching for? Maybe not on that time horizon, but in the year to come in the retail world.
You know, I think that this change in thinking about the nature of the mix between online and in-person. You brought up Barnes & Noble opening some smaller stores to mix in with their larger stores. And I think retailers are becoming much more sophisticated in how they mix brick and mortar and online, how they make them work together. And there's a lot of learning going on. A lot of learning happened during the pandemic, and it'll continue.
Hart, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me, as always.
Hart Posen is a professor of management and human resources at the UW-Madison School of Business. With us today, looking at conflicting trends in the retail world, with some big box stores adding brick and mortar locations, others shrinking their physical footprint. You can keep sharing your stories, by the way, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.